Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes, Beef Buzz Time with Dr. Gary Vogel, joining us from Elanco in just a moment.
The hardest working folks we know are farmers and ranchers, and GoBob Pipe and Steel is committed to finding ways to save you time and money. GoBob is always looking for equipment and materials that will help you do the many chores you have faster and for less. GoBob is now offering pipe for corral fencing that's up to 25% cheaper than what other pipe dealers have to offer. For example, a 2-inch OD pipe with an extra heavy wall for 88 cents a foot, or a 2 3/8-inch OD pipe, also with an extra heavy wall for $1.33 per foot. GoBob Pipe and Steel invites you to compare those prices with anybody. And if cows are involved, GoBob is the one to call for fencing and cattle equipment. We invite you to call the knowledgeable customer service representatives at GoBob Pipe and Steel for more details at 877-851-2365. And please use our website as a tool for your business, www.gobobpipe.com.
We continue our coverage of the 2015 Cattle Industry Convention here in San Antonio. One gentleman we had the opportunity to catch up with here in the industry's annual gathering of thought leaders as well as cattle producers, Dr. Gary Vogel with Elanco Animal Health. And Elanco is big into what they're calling the Enough Movement, the idea of producing enough beef to help feed the world population of 9 billion by the year 2050.
So, Ron, you hit on a very important number, that being 9 billion people. And as we look at what will be happening over the next 35 years as we move to 2050, the world population will be going to 9 billion people. What's just as important is 3 billion people around the world, mostly those people in the second and third world countries, will be coming into middle class. And as a result, we expect to see a 60% increase in demand for meat, milk, and eggs. So specifically, as we talk about beef production, as we've done our analysis, one of the things we've come to understand is that we will be needing to manufacture or to produce an extra 40% more beef to take care of the world's demand for beef production.
Seems like there are critics out there that say livestock production in general, and beef in particular, we shouldn't be wasting resources to feed cattle in order to end up with beef for you know, consumers, for humans, that's a waste of resources. How do we respond to that?
You know, that's an excellent question. It's one that we typically hear quite often. And I think we've got to put beef production in context. And so we can look at this a couple of different ways. The first way we have to look at it is if you take you think about the U.S. cattle feeding operation, the life of an animal in a feed yard that a lot of us are thinking about is only about 180 days. But yet that animal spends 18 months out on pasture eating grass. And if we think more globally around the world, a lot of the places where cattle graze are not even viable for raising crops and production. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, as we look at grain production, only about 1.5% of all grain or of an animal's diet is actually driven by grain. The other thing that's important to recognize is if we talk about efficiency of production, in the U.S. we typically talk that it takes about 2 years to take an animal to harvest, and it takes about 13 pounds of feed to make a pound of beef. If we talk about some of these more non-intensive approaches that are in some of these second and third world countries or more grazing programs, mm-hmm. it typically takes about 5 years to get that animal to the same endpoint and takes about 26 pounds of feed to produce that same pound of beef.
When it comes to, you know, getting to that number, in other words, being more efficient with our beef production, how do we get our arms around that successfully?
So the challenge with beef production, again, as we talk about beef production around the world, it's really complex. At the end of the day, it's about how do we become more efficient. As we look at the world population and the number of cattle that we're going to have, we're going to need an extra 710 million cattle produced around the world to meet the need for beef in the year 2050. Now, there's two ways that we can go about that. One is simply add more cattle. But as we think through that, that's probably not the sustainable approach because we're already using about 1.5 times the Earth's regeneration cycle per year. Or the other way is to look at using technology to improve animal productivity. And when we think about technology, technology can be very broad. It can be using artificial insemination, improving genetics. It can be improving nutritional programs for animals, whether they're out on pasture, whether in a feed yard. It's the simple things like using anthelmintics, like using parasiticides. If we do those simple things, we believe we actually have enough population that we can produce the extra beef that we're going to need in the year 2050 simply by taking advantage of the existing technologies that we have today.
That sounds like that would be, you know, we do a lot of those things already in the United States. That sounds like this is more in some of these countries where we are feeding beef a lot less efficiently.
You hit on an excellent point, Ron, and I think that is part of the messages we look at the Beef Enough movement. If we break the world down into segments, a lot of us here in the U.S., we think about the U.S. and the European Union, where we are actually pretty good at adopting technologies. But if we go around and we look at less efficient places around the world, Indonesia, South America, even Australia to some degree, that's where we probably see the greater opportunity is to increase animal productivity to meet that increased demand that we're going to have in 35 years from now.
I know that Dr. Frank Mintlerner from UC Davis talks a lot about the carbon footprint and the fact that we are so much better than these other countries when it comes to our production, both milk and beef. The carbon footprint argument also is one that we can successfully deal with as we try to be more efficient in our beef production. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I think that's part of the message here is that we have the technology today that we can help increase productivity if a lot of places have greater access to have that technology. By having that technology, we really believe we can freeze that carbon footprint and try to help us become more sustainable at improving beef. So that's the key, is how do we get some of these other countries to improve productivity and therefore supply the beef that the world will need in the coming years.
You're obviously work for Elanco Animal Health. What's in it for Elanco?
Well, that's a question a lot of people have. I think it's really born out of why we're focusing on the Enough movement. And the basic premise for the Enough movement is about solving food insecurity for the world. One of the things we have to realize is that 40% of the people in the world live on less than $2 a day. And when you stop and you think about that in the world that we live in, that's a Diet Coke and a donut. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but think about it. That's all a lot of people get to eat. So part of this is about helping meet the world's demands for food. And yes, there is no question that by having producers use technologies as a company like Elanco, we would benefit, as would other countries. But it's really about solving the issues around food insecurity.
I know a lot of folks have said that the only way we will feed this growing population in 2050 and beyond is to be more efficient, basically do more with less. Is that part of this whole concept you're talking about?
That's the exact premise. And as we've gone through the numbers, we've done this the same evaluation on eggs, on milk, on dairy and poultry. And in every case, it looks like we can solve the world's needs from a meat, milk, and eggs perspective by having greater use and adoption of all kinds of technologies, not just pharmaceutical technologies, but basic production practices. If we can get people within the second and third worlds to start to adopt some of those technologies, we can decrease the carbon footprint as well as increase the productivity for all animals.
One last question. Any ideas on how you do that?
Well, I think, you know, it's not an easy task, let's be honest, as we sit and think about how do we work with countries, Indonesia and Asia, that basically have some religious reasons as to why they let their water buffalo run. We're fortunate in the U.S. that we have technical experts around the world that can do it. So I think long term, we will have to work with governmental agencies around the world. We'll need to work with people to try to increase the message. And seriously, we need to work through government agencies to make sure that we can have that outreach to help those other countries.
Dr. Gary Vogel with Elanco Animal Health. If you want to learn more about Elanco's ideas regarding food security, you can visit enoughmovement.com and you can join their movement to feed 9 billion people in the days ahead.
That's your Beef Buzz, reporting from San Antonio and the 2015 Cattle Industry Convention. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.